The purpose of this show is solely to provide information for you to make your own decisions on the subjects that are presented.
Welcome to the Bud Armstrong Show. Massive threat from Iran, folks. A massive threat from Iran. Something we cannot ignore. And really, I want to get into it as fast as possible. Frank Gaffney had a great guest on, and they really went over a lot. And you need to see the threats we are facing. And of course, I know we're facing a lot of threats. But let's just jump right into it, shall we? Here's Frank Gaffney. Take a listen.
Tell us what you take away from what was your experiences.
Well, first, I think that the technical aspect, I mean, Iran launched 110 ballistic missiles, 36 cruise missiles, 185 suicide drones at once. It's the largest ballistic attack, I believe, that we know of at this point in history. What I'm hearing is also that about half of the launches didn't work. They either exploded on platform or in very first stages and fell back to Earth in Iran, about 50%. So we're
Do
really
you think there's any chance that that was a function of interference?
No, I think it was most likely a function of the quality of their system. So 150,000 pounds of ordnance was launched onto Israel. That was the warhead capacity. Potentially as high as 300,000. Of those, the United States and allies, the UK, Jordan, Saudi Arabia admits it, participated, France participated. They shot down 75 projectiles, mostly drones, a few, three missiles, cruise missiles. Israel shot down the rest, seven using, the big thing was they shot down of the 110 ballistic missiles, they shot them all down at exo-atmospherically, except for seven, which were heading to areas that weren't important, or five, or actually three, penetrated and hit the airbase at Nevatim.
Let me pause it there. Folks, you got to understand how serious this is. This is a 100% attack. This isn't something where they're just trying to warn Israel. They actually were trying to totally obliterate what they could get to. They knew they wouldn't be able to get to everything. They knew the Israeli defenses are very good, but they truly were trying to obliterate Israel. And you got to keep that in mind. This isn't a small thing. Here's more.
Down in the south, one of the main Israeli air bases, and knocked out a runway for a few hours, and damaged a C-130 transport aircraft, minor damage essentially, that was repaired immediately. And there are other runways there. So essentially, as far as casualties, there are no Israeli casualties except for one 10-year-old girl, a Bedouin Arab girl. They live in an illegal, unpermitted village, and therefore didn't have any shelter. And shrapnel from one of the missiles fell on her. And she is still in critical condition, but expected to live at this point. It's the only Israeli casualty. So
Israel, David, we were told, and let me just make sure I understand what you've said and ask you to elaborate. We've been told that the Iranians opted only to target military assets, facilities, installations, what have you. Is that your understanding? I mean, this no. collateral damage thing was different, obviously, but that was not the case?
No, they targeted Jerusalem. They sent missiles onto Jerusalem. There were missiles heading toward critical sites in Jerusalem, including the parliament. Were they accurate enough to hit the parliament? I don't know. But certainly there were a lot of missiles headed to Jerusalem. There were 30 missiles headed to Dimona, Israel's nuclear reactor, which meant they attempted to create a Chernobyl disaster.
Did you hear that? They attempted to create a Chernobyl disaster. They actually were trying to destroy Israel's nuclear reactor. This isn't some small thing. This is huge. They're not messing around. The wonderful thing is God has set it up where Israel is much better at defending itself than they are attacking Israel. But I don't think most people know the gravity of what Iran was doing. I mean, this is great information so that we understand this is World War III end time stuff. This isn't something that's isolated and not to be taken seriously. Obviously, it is the most serious, I'd say the most serious thing Israel and America has ever faced. Here's more.
So this was not a limited operation. This was not a small operation. This wasn't symbolic. This was a devastating attempt, or an attempt at a devastating strike at Israel. Whatever the expectation of the West was beforehand, this was larger and more deadly in theory than what we had thought it would be.
Yeah. I wanted to talk to you about what we thought it would be and the extent to which the Biden administration seems, from what I've seen, to have had some foreknowledge of what was taking place here or going to take place here. And for example, they, I understand, warned American citizens to go to the cities, including Jerusalem by name, on the basis of what, I'm not sure, but presumably some insight into what was going to be targeted. And that's why I wanted to draw you out on this question. They did, in fact, send missiles. Some even said they were capable of attacking and destroying the Al-Aqsa Mosque, said to be one of the holiest sites on the earth for Muslims.
There was certainly a lot of stuff overhead on the Al-Aqsa Mosque. There's videos of it, of the battles in the atmosphere. Between missiles and Israeli anti-missile missiles and so forth, shrapnel falling all over the place.
Do you think it's fair to say that Israeli defenses may have prevented some of that from falling on the Al-Aqsa Mosque?
I think it certainly is possible. I think it's quite possible. These were headed to Jerusalem. We can only imagine where they would have hit. Iranians don't know exactly where they would have hit. Some are very accurate, some are not. But certainly overhead, Al-Aqsa, the Temple Mount is quite a big area. I'd be surprised if something wouldn't have hit there had Israel not had any air defense.
We can only imagine what the repercussions of that would have been.
Now, you mentioned that you might have had forewarning. From what we understand, the Iranians told the Turks to pass a message to us 72 hours in advance. The White House is somewhat denying it. But to be honest, the behavior of the White House in the 72 hours before the attack suggested to me they knew, and they did not know from intelligence. The precision with which we said this will be hit, this will not be hit, indicated we were told where Iran will hit. And that's something that is intention, not that there's no technical means you can see that with.
That's amazing. He's basically, the way I look at it is showing that the Biden administration is basically committing treason against America. I cannot believe the way our government just casually struts around when you have this massive of a threat and it's not being dealt with the way you would think it would be. It really is amazing. Here's more.
And I doubt our human intelligence was so good that we had a perfect vision of their of their, so I think we were told 72 hours in advance.
All right, David, and what I want to come back to on the other side of a very short break is what did the U.S. government do in that space of time?
Yeah, so let's do that and join them in the second half of the break. Here we go. Take a listen.
But what is striking to me, David, unless I missed it, was the president didn't really do much to discourage the Iranians from taking this action. I think the closest he came to it was saying that Iran would not succeed. What did you make of that?
I think you're absolutely right. It also raises the issue of don't, if he knew. And there's a precedent with Ayn al-Assad where we killed Soleimani, which, of course, under the Trump administration, which was a devastating blow to the regime. And we knew that Iran would respond. So we essentially warned the Iranians, you are not to do anything serious. And the Iranians needed to do something. So they essentially forewarned us that they were going to hit our base in al-Assad in Iraq. And they did. But that precedent then led, which is a very limited thing, to a very devastating blow. What that led to, though, was what we saw earlier, about 2-3 months ago, where the United States had 3 soldiers killed. And we negotiated with Iran a proper response by Iranian militias that we would do that wouldn't trigger a response by Iran. So we literally negotiated how much was acceptable in terms of the back and forth. And I think we did this on the larger level with the Iranians now.
Well, hold on 1 second. Notice that we don't take into account anything that Israel wants. I want you to understand, this is America negotiating with Iran with no regard as to what Israel wants. You got to keep that in mind. Here's more.
Hold the thought, David, just real quick. Do you think that one of the other things that was in that mix in those negotiations was sending them more money? Because we've certainly been doing a lot of that.
I'm certain that there is an element of we won't expand this or do escalatory means. We'll let you get it off your chest. And then we'll try to return back to seeking this JCPOA 2.0, which is a regional strategic condominium with Iran, which implies sanctions and so being lifted and so on and so forth. So I think they thought Iran would do its thing. It would be a limited attack, maybe a couple dozen drones, maybe a few missiles here and there. I think the Iranians went beyond what they told us because they smelled weakness. They saw that Israel and the United States were not in the same place. And part of their strategy is to divide the United States and Israel and put Israel in a very weak place. So they launched enough missiles thinking that some will get through. I think they looked at Ukraine and expected between 10 and 20% to get through, which would have been about 70 warheads would have gotten through, which certainly would have killed many Israelis, done severe damage and provided horrible imagery. But the key is the United States essentially negotiated a proper, quote, an appropriate strike by Iran.
Yeah, that is amazing that the United States was negotiating a proper response against Israel's wishes. And the United States thought that 70% could possibly make it through. Now, Israel's defense was much better than even what America thought it was. So thank goodness for that. But the amount of treason is stunning. Not treason against Israel, but also treason against the United States, our own president, because our own president is negotiating or working with our enemies to destroy us. It's amazing. Here's more.
On Israel, on our ally, which is stunning.
Honestly. And is now having, to its credit, right, provided some defense to Israel in the face of all of this.
Well,
it now seems to be busily trying to defend Iran.
Does it? Yes. Not? it provided defense because it didn't want Israel wounded enough to force a retaliation. They thought it would be a small strike. Our forces would stop everything. And Israel would be beholden because nothing really even got to the Israeli defenses. And then Israel would
have. But as you said, the lion's share was actually done by the Israelis.
Right. And then the Israelis wouldn't have any reason to strike and we can restrain them. And I think that was part of the understandings with Iran. What happened here was much bigger and more potentially more deadly. It didn't wind up more deadly. And the Israelis did all the lifting. And the Israelis were not part of these understandings to begin with. They need to respond. And there's a very strong strategic imperative for them responding, which we could get into.
Well, so lay that out, because I think this is a moment where we need to have a very frank conversation about not only what happens if Israel does not, but also what kinds of things do you think are appropriate in the circumstances?
Well, yes, I think that, you see, the United States definitely asked Israel to stop. Israel stopped the retaliation en route. I have good sources telling me it was stopped. I do believe the Israelis will still do a strike. The pressures internally are high. And the reason for it is they're looking at the expansion of what they faced in Gaza for the last 20 years, expanding now to the strategic level with Iran. The constant periodic strikes, the constant retaliations for the retaliations against Israel itself, except in Gaza, it led to October 7th, eventually, this back and forth. The basing your strategy entirely on defense and successful defense led to October 7th, the catastrophic failure. Israel is being asked by the United States to return to that concept and base its defense, base its strategy entirely on defense strategically, which will eventually wind up into a nuclear October 7th. So Israel is being asked to return to October 6th, and Israel's saying no. So it needs to strike back. Also, whether this strike was a humiliation and a defeat of Iran or a success depends on Israel's reaction now. If it does not strike back, Iran will spin the narrative that this was only a small taste of what they can do. The big stuff could come, but the Israelis were too scared, too frightened. Like rabbits, they went into their holes and took it. And Nasrallah already last week was saying Israel doesn't exist anymore as an independent country. It is just the tutelage of the United States, an appendage of the United States, and answers, and is constrained by the United States. It's dependent. It's a dependency. So they will make that argument that, you see, Israel would have wanted to do something, but they can't. So it drives home.
And David, of course, as we've...
It is so amazing. It's hard to put into words what is happening and how Iran is, well, from Iran's point of view, they're playing to keep. It's hard to even describe how dangerous this is, but it is. It's where we're at, and Israel is just going to have to push forward, even though it doesn't have the United States backing. The United States seems to be backing Iran over Israel, and I think it's pretty clear. I don't think you can listen to this and not conclude that Iran has got Joe Biden on their side, and Israel is all by itself. But biblical prophecy says that that's exactly what will happen, that the whole world goes against Israel. And I think that's what we're seeing. Right now, we're seeing the whole world going against Israel. Here's more.
We've been talking about, that's a perception that is already far advanced, thanks to what's been going on in Hamas down.
Completely.
And it can only be made infinitely worse. So, David, in a commentary I did this morning, and people, you can subscribe to the Secure Freedom Minute at centerforsecuritypolicy.org. I encourage you to do so. I just said, you know, there are three things. The Republicans in Congress seem to have had enough of this, and I understand that they're now prepared to take on the administration for what it's doing to Israel. I hope they will. One seems to me, if they're going to do something useful, is to insist that there be emergency resupply of Israel. What was done in the way of defenses was spectacular, but obviously has depleted dramatically what they had left in the way of kit, notably Iron Dome. We need, I believe, an investigation of what this administration knew and when it knew it.
Yes.
And what it did as a result of what it knew about what was coming.
Yes.
And we need to stand with Israel as it responds. So we've got 30 seconds. What's your shortest of short forms on what Israel should do now?
I think Israel should administer a devastating blow that hits regime symbols, as well as obviously factories that produce this equipment, launch sites, and the nuclear program. This is the time to get the job done. But more than anything, Israel has been dealing for 40 years with the with fires all over the region. They're getting sick of it. They need to deal with the arsonist. This now is an Israeli-Iranian fight. They must win this fight and Amen. Deal with the arsonist.
And we
He's saying it's an Israeli fight versus Iran. And of course, we're basically sitting on the sideline. But we're not really. We're not really sitting on the sideline. We're the Biden administration has picked sides. So it is bad because we are outside of what God would want. We are picking Iran over God. And well, it's a scary situation. Folks, if this does scare you, don't forget that Jesus is in control. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except through him. You don't have to be scared if you have Jesus. If you don't have Jesus, I would suggest that you invite him into your heart right now. Don't wait. Time is so short. We don't know how much time we have, but don't wait. Just do it. Do it today. Folks, thank you for tuning in. I really appreciate it. And make sure that you know Jesus more than anything else. I love you guys. See ya.
Hey guys, don't forget to like and subscribe to my dad's channel. Otherwise, Joe Biden will come in your closet and sniff your hair.
You're listening to The Ben Armstrong Show. Join me, Kate Daly, Monday through Fridays for The Kate Daly Show at thenewamerican.com/Kate.
As a lumberjack, I've been cutting wood for decades. My job is pretty straightforward. I see the wood, I chop the wood. My axe goes through every time. You remember when everyone bought all the toilet paper? And they wanted me to wear these things? And someone invested a lot of money into this stuff. They say I'm part of a global plan. I don't think so. It's too hot, it's too cold. You know what? The weather changes. We even hear crazy ideas on how kids should learn.
Here's the news, Dad.
Is it, son? Is it?
What about this one, Dad?
Nope. It's hard to tell what's real and what's fake these days. There's just too much baloney out there. At The New American, they cut through the baloney and give me the truth.
Visit thenewamerican.com and subscribe to get 50% off the cover price. And if you want an even better deal, use the promo code 10OFFSUB. Again, that's 10OFFSUB for more than 50% off.